My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Stream me live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. And the Commanders' defense has been a bit perplexing so far this year. Obviously, the 37 points they gave up in the opener, that's not really that complicated. That's bad. The 18 points they gave up in the week two home opening win against the Giants, I think there's a little bit more room for debate of exactly how good or bad that performance was. Obviously, giving up some big gashes on the ground, not ideal. Giving up a ton of yardage to Malik Nabers, not ideal. They will not be the last ones to do that. Nevertheless, this season, or his career this season, probably for the rest of the month, he's ridiculously good as a rookie and will continue to grow and get better. And they're also going to give him the ball a lot. But, you know, and also, oh, by the way, they didn't have a kicker, so that point total could have been higher just by nature of being able to kick extra points. But they also did create their first turnover of the season. They got a couple of key stops, and they did enough to win the football game. So that's nice. The question is, why have they struggled to the extent that they've struggled, and what can they do to fix the issues that they've had? Those are the questions that I tried to answer on the Take Command podcast this week with Logan Paulson. We wanted to play a couple of clips of Logan's analysis for you and then talk about them here amongst ourselves on the radio. The first thing that Logan pointed to is very, very simple, which is this is a team that is new and is still trying to find its identity. And while some of the players, especially the ones that people are most frustrated with, have played together for a couple of years, many years, in fact, in Duron and John, they're still figuring out how to play within this scheme, within the system, and with the players around them. And the coaches are still trying to figure out what exactly it is they want to do with this collection of players that they had or that they have, some of which are not the most talented players they've ever coached.
In the same way, we're giving the offense some grace for some play calls and some, you know, kind of bringing Jaden along and all that kind of stuff. I think there's some of that going on here with the defense as well. Like, what are we good at? Who do we want to be? What are the guys good at? Because it's going to be different. I've said this on every show that I've done since the season started, is I'm telling you, every team I've been on, we think we're one thing at the start of the season, and we end up being something totally different by week four. Like, it's how it goes. Even with teams that are pretty established, because you're like, man, we're not as good as this as I thought, but we're really good at this other thing. And so I think Joe Wood Jr., that's the responsibility of him and his staff to kind of say, hey, we want these guys to be penetrators, but people are taking advantage of it. So maybe we got to dial that back a little bit and say, hey, man, when it's second and long, let's be more penetrating. And maybe we can get into some different nickel personnel to maximize these types of looks. So I think that's something just to keep an eye on moving forward.
I think those two examples are really, really, really interesting because, like, who you want to be is one thing. The reality of what you are is different. That could be a life philosophy, not just a defensive or offensive football philosophy, right? We all want to be certain things, and we can tell ourselves we're certain things, and then reality sets in when we're faced with whatever circumstances. And so for Washington this year, if they're like, we want to be fast, we want to be physical, we want to be a penetrating defensive line, we want to be aggressive on the corners, you know, we want to really get guys' faces, and then you see teams start to use that aggression against you, and then on the outside, like, you can be physical all you want, but he ain't that good, and receivers are all of a sudden giving you the business, then maybe perhaps you have some different choices you need to make. And so you have to blend that mix of who we want to be from an identity piece and how we thought that would look schematically to what the reality is on the ground. And I think that is something that we saw some changes with in the fourth quarter on Sunday that helped secure the win within this weird context of, hey, by the way, it's made a lot easier because giving up a ton of yardage is not really that damaging because letting the other team in field goal range is not threatening. And so with all of those things said, when Logan talks about, hey, we want to be a big penetrating defensive line, that we want to make plays in the backfield, like we want to use Allen and Payne's quickness and strength to our advantage, making sure they're more situationally aware is the coach's responsibility. And hey, on second and long, when it's an obvious passing down, then okay, let's get aggressive. Third and seven, like plus, let's go. If it's first and 10 and we're flying off the line and teams are hitting us with traps and draws and all we're doing is taking ourselves out of the play, that's actually counterproductive to getting results. And so I want to say forget the identity, forget, you know, that idea, but being smarter with the application is essential and something that you can refine as a coach and you can teach up as you go throughout a season. Same thing on the coverage structures. You might want to play man-to-man on the outside because you want to, you know, be really aggressive with your blitz packages and things like that. And be, you know, there's kind of an old joke in the NFL. Every new defensive coordinator that gets hired is, you know, oh, what are you going to do that's different from the last guy? We're going to be more aggressive. Like, there's no one that ever got hired saying, like, we're going to sit back in zone and try to make people pick us apart and just kind of rely on the fact that the other team's going to make a mistake. But sometimes that's kind of what you got to do in the NFL. You have to be smart with how you deploy certain tactics. And I think figuring out, like, that there's not a standard for that either. It's dependent on what you do well as a team. And I think that is what Logan's saying in terms of Joe Witt and staff have to find that out. And I think the last piece I'd like to say before playing, you know, some of the other things that Logan had to is some people will be like, well, that's making excuses. Sure, I guess if you're so insistent on being just beating someone over the head that there has to be consequences for a football game, yeah, fine. It's an excuse. What? But I actually don't think that's like, what's the point of that? To me, it's much more interesting to be like, okay, what are the reasons this is happening? Because once we discuss them as reasons, not excuses, then we go, okay, well, if that's the reason, then what's the solution to fix it? Because ultimately, saying that this is what is happening is not saying it's okay. It's saying this is the problem. Now moving forward, now that it's been identified, let's track the attempts to fix it because that will tell us how good the coaching staff actually is.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
So, with the limitations that have been in place so far that get loosened by the week, if we're saying, hey, this is all new, well, the more that time that they spend together, the less that becomes a reason why some of this stuff is happening. One of the symptoms of this is teams have been able to get some really big runs on them. Why? And how do Joe Witt and company fix that?
They're a nickel, right? So you got Mike Sanders still kind of as your extra linebacker. Think about that. You've got 21 personnel on the field. You've got 40 linemen. You've got two linebackers, and you've got a nickel player in as your extra linebacker. So you're short hats, and you've got a guy who's more of a pass player in also. And I understand why you're doing it. They're in 12 personnel, usually match nickel now to 12. So good job kind of finding a matchup. Cause like when you look at it, John is penetrating up the field, right? He's being aggressive up the field. They want him to be a penetrating team. It kind of looks like pass, like you're talking about. He's on his hip, kind of widens out. But if the nickel is really aggressive downhill and he's taking on an offensive lineman, obviously that's a mismatch. Mike Sanders is not a big guy. Like that's a different result, right? If you've got like a run stopping linebacker in there, like let's say for example, like Frankie Louvre is there, he sees that, like, that's what he does, right? He's going to attack downhill. He's going to condense that run lane, and it's going to be
it's going to be a lot harder. And so I think that this is the nuanced thing that Joe Witt now has to deal with is they want Mike Sanders still to be a huge part of what they do. That's fine. I think he still can be. But as they learn certain teams' tendencies, as you get deeper into the season, because that's the other thing. There's so much that's unscouted at this point in the season, both in looks that you're preparing for and situational tendencies. It's like, okay, they want to run in these situations, or maybe it's 2nd and 8, and we learn that this team, probably not going to be the Bengals this week, because they're going to be like, hey, Joe, want to bail us out of 2nd and 8? But against other teams, that they're going to look to run it again. And like, let's try to get in 3rd and 5 or 3rd and 4 with a four-plus-yard gain and get it in 3rd and 3. Okay, well, maybe now instead of having Mike Sanders still in there to match their 11 personnel, match their 3 wide receiver set, let's put a third safety in there and let's let Quan Martin play kind of a Buffalo nickel a la last year. Let's let Percy Butler be in the slot or Jeremy Chinn be in the slot. Let's use a different body type in there. Maybe Dominique Hampton starts playing a little bit more if he gets activated next week. Seems like he's going to be the odd man or one of the odd men out in that secondary, but maybe that's an option. You know, once Emmanuel Forbes gets back or they figure out something else at outside corner, like Noah Igbinoghene is a little bit bigger and a little bit more physical. So in run situations where you think maybe they're going to play run, do you get a bigger nickel guy in there? Or do you just call their bluff and trust Frankie Louvu to play some coverage? Like that's an option. So there's a lot of different solutions to these problems. Some of them schematic, some of them coaching points. Hey, we got to squeeze a little bit there. We got to, you know, make sure we're a little bit more on our P's and Q's on this thing. Or hey, this is a better way to fight off this block. Why don't you try to do this with your hands? But then there's also just who's out there. And that's something that as they figure out what the limitations of these guys are, because in college, like Sanders still could play the run as a nickel. The NFL, he's still figuring out how to do that because he's not very big. And do I think he'll get there eventually? Yes, I do, because he's super smart and super competitive. But as he figures that out, if Joe Witt would like to get better results immediately versus letting Sanders still learn on the job, there are other options. As far as the final piece of the defense, I do think it's important that we are human about this and we say sometimes the other guys deserve some credit too. And obviously Tampa week one, everything was an unscouted look because it's week one. Week two, Brian Daboll looked at the week one tape and he noticed a few things and did a good job of making sure there was a couple situations where the Commanders were losing before the ball was ever snapped with the pen.
Brian Daboll was like, we're not letting this defensive line eat us alive. So if they're not in a play pass look with the two tight ends, they're leaving a tight end in pro. They're leaving the back to help him. You're getting double teams on the two interior players. It's all quick game stuff. Those opportunities, it becomes much more challenging to affect the game as a rusher. Like, and so that's an example to me of a guy in Brian Daboll calling a game knowing, hey, like, I want Daniel Jones to be comfortable. I want our offensive line to be comfortable. And when you juxtapose that to Tampa Bay, which I went back and watched all those rushes, they were much more aggressive in the pass game. And as a result, our defensive line had much more one-on-one opportunities, much more kind of third and obvious pass rush situations, second and long situations. That wasn't quite as available here. And again, with the mobility of Daniel Jones, you could tell there was a little bit more conservatism to the rush.
And that is how you ultimately don't get any sacks or get very few sacks, few pressures, and still only give up 18 points. At the end of the day, if you're a four-man rush against a seven-man protection, you're probably not getting a ton of pressure. And I think it is important to sometimes we get really obsessed with certain stats, whether it's pressure rates or whatever, and we kind of lose the forest through the trees. Yeah, there's some frustrating stuff that happens on Sunday, but they weren't playing a game 3 weeks from now. They were playing the game on Sunday. They made some choices that were very specific because the Giants didn't have a kicker, because Daniel Jones is Daniel Jones, because the running back threat was only so big with a guy like Devin Singletary versus Saquon Barkley in the past. They made some choices to take some L's in some places to make sure they got the dub overall. And for Sunday, even if it was by the skin of their teeth, it worked out. So I not saying there's nothing to critique or nothing to complain about or no adjustments need to be made. Definitely not saying that. But I do think that we need to make sure that we don't lose the forest through the trees and that we see the bigger picture. And, you know, week one, they were more aggressive against not as conservative in terms of protection. And they got great pressure on Baker Mayfield. They couldn't finish for Jack Pooh, but they had like a 67% pressure rate or something like that. Ridiculous. So hopefully they can get back to that. Hopefully they're smarter about how they do it, where they don't give up the explosive runs. And ultimately we'll see if this defense can evolve because it needs to, even though it's got some talent deficiencies that I do think are going to linger and that they're going to have to try to scheme around all year long. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And when we get back, let's take some of your calls on the defense. Questions, comments, and I'm sure you have many concerns. 301-230-0980. Your call's next on the Hoffman Show.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.